Good morning. It's sort of exciting to be able to speak on the Sunday after the 4th of July for a number of reasons. One, we're all excited about all the fireworks that we've seen, and they can't even compare to the fireworks of God and the good things that He has for us. So let's just go to Daddy first. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love, your word, your spirit. We can love, Lord, because you first loved us, and we are so thankful for that. That makes everything different. We just ask, Holy Spirit, we thank you so much that you're right here with us right now. We don't even have to ask for you to come because you're alive in each one of us. But I want to ask you for a manifestation of your presence in the hearts and lives of all of us, that your word would be ignited in a new and fresh way for us. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last time I got the privilege of being here with y'all, and I really do consider it that, I spoke a little bit about Psalm 92, and I just haven't been able to get off of it. It's interesting how I know probably every one of you have heard some of these stories about people in foreign countries that will maybe have only one page of the Bible, and they will read that for years, and the Holy Spirit will minister to them through that for years and years. And I used to go, how can that be? I mean, oh my word, I like to just hurry up and go through it, back and forth. Well, I'm beginning to get a tiny, tiny glimmer because I have not been able to get away from Psalm 92. And every time I read it, I see something new in it. Wow, that sort of rhymes. Psalm 92, something new. Anyway, so if y'all will open to that, we will just get started here. It's praise for the Lord's goodness, and it says a psalm for the Sabbath day. Well, first I just want to say, the Sabbath day is in us. He himself is the Sabbath day rest. And when we are believers, we have entered in to that rest in him. So this is a psalm for all of us. And we're looking at it from the new covenant perspective, the new way, the new and living way. Not the old, but the new. The new about the finished work of Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross. And it talks about it's good to praise him in the morning and speak of his faithfulness in the evening. And I'm going to skip that first part so I can get to the part that I want to get to that I didn't really get to last time. Look, start right here at verse 5. It says, how great are your works, O Lord? Your thoughts are very deep. How great are his works and his thoughts, his ways, his purposes are very deep. Only the Spirit can give us revelation of those. We can have all this head knowledge, but if it's not revealed by the Holy Spirit, it's just, you know, knowledge, information. But his thoughts, his purposes, his ways are very deep. And then it says, a senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this. But that when the wicked sprouted up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forever. And then the very next verse, look at the contrast, says, but you, O Lord, are on high forever. Verse 5, how great are your works, O Lord? Your thoughts are very deep. Then it talks about the wicked, the stupid, the senseless man that doesn't have any spiritual understanding at all. And then it talks about that they perish forever. And look at the contrast, but God is forever. forever and ever. He will never change. He will never go away. He said, I am the first and the last. He didn't say, I will be the first and I will be the last, or I was the first and I will be the last. No, I am. I am. So then you move on, and this is all accomplished by the blood of Jesus, by what he did on the cross. It's really amazing. Then it says, for behold your enemies, O Lord, behold your enemies will perish. There it is again, the contrast is coming up. All who do iniquity will be scattered. But you, now, it's talking about what God did for King David specifically here, because he's the one that wrote this. But we have the right to apply this to ourselves. And it says, but you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Horn stands for strength. He's exalted our strength like, I think in King James it says a unicorn. And that anointing, it talks about, you have anointed me with fresh oil or new oil. That's the grace. There it is, right there, grace, right here in this psalm in the Old Testament. The grace of God. He has anointed us with fresh oil by his grace, his spirit, his word, when we believe. It's the most amazing thing, all accomplished by the work on the cross. And I ran across some time back a really cool scripture about oil. And we know that in the scripture, the oil is a symbolic or a picture of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are lots of pictures of him all through the scripture. But over in Deuteronomy chapter 33, I think it is, Moses is giving a word like of prophecy for each of the tribes, all the different tribes. One of them happens to be Asher, which means happy. And it says that Asher is more blessed than all the other sons. And it's in the King James, it says, the length of your days, so shall your strength be. Well, I took that and I received that into myself. And I thought, the length of my days, so shall my strength be. We can, each one of us can receive that and know that we can walk in divine strength and health because of the anointing, the fresh oil, the new anointing of the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, and the whole work that Jesus did on the cross. And the New American Standard, for that same scripture, it says, the length of your days, so shall your leisurely walk be. And I thought, those are really different from each other. And I thought, oh, well, take them both. Just receive it. Take it and believe it and receive it and walk in it. And the reason he said that, I thought this was so cool. Just before it says that, it says, he dipped his foot in the oil. Now, I've not studied that out. All I know is I thought, whoa, he dipped his foot in the oil. He just got right in there, even though it was in the old covenant, with the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Spirit of God himself living in you, you can walk in strength and health and leisure and rest in that Sabbath day rest that Jesus provided for us, and that he himself, by the power of the Spirit, comes and lives right inside of us. So why not? Why can't we take it all? I mean, really? Okay, that's also talking about resurrection power, resurrection anointing. When Jesus ascended, he sent the Spirit. That is that fresh, new anointing, the resurrection anointing. In Luke chapter 20, it says, we are sons of resurrection. Oh my goodness, isn't that great? I mean, we don't have to walk around with our head down and crying and moaning and acting like a worm, like we, you know, well, anyway, we used to be taught some stuff. Okay, the next verse, let's see. Well, let me check my notes here and just see if I missed anything. Even Jesus was anointed with a fresh anointing so he could go through what he went through. Mary came and anointed him for his burial, he said. So we have this anointing for everything that we go through, that we walk through in this life. We don't have to do it by ourselves. It's by the grace, the Word, and the Spirit. All that, the fresh new anointing, the overflow of the Spirit for every single thing we walk through. And we're going to be walking through different things all the time. And especially as we see the end days coming. All right. The enemies are all defeated. Verse 11. He saw it. He heard it. I really think this is talking about Jesus in a way that, of course, King David didn't have a clue that it was. But we can see it now. He says, "My eye has looked exultantly upon my foes. My ears hear the evildoers who rise up against me." All of that was accomplished, you know, over in Colossians. You know, those lights are really bright, aren't they? It says that he made a public spectacle of the enemies. He nailed it to the cross, the law and all the works of the enemy, so that we could be set free. It's for freedom that he set us free. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. It's a really neat thing. Okay, now, here comes the contrast between all the evil, wicked, and now he starts talking about the righteous man in verse 12. "The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Flourish is, the word flourish right here in 12 and 13 is a different word than it uses over here, flourish, in verse 7. It's a whole different word altogether. And I don't remember what the one in verse 7, the definition of it, but this word flourish in 12 and 13 says too, it's parak, I guess is how you say it in Hebrew. It means to break forth as a bud, to bloom. Generally, it means to spread, specifically to fly as extending the wings. I think that is really awesome. And of course, we've been around the word long enough. A scripture comes right to your mind, I'm sure, because it did to mine. Isaiah 40:31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's that anointing of the power of the Spirit in our lives because of the shed blood of Jesus. And that word wait, I just have to interject this because I was taught many, many years ago it meant like waiting on tables. But no, when you look it up, that's not that word. In the Hebrew, that word means to be bound together with, as if by braiding or twisting. As we are bound together with him, as we come and understand that we are joined, that we are in union with God Almighty, then we will mount up with wings as eagles. And once you get up there under his wings, you have a whole different perspective, and you can run with him and whatever he wants you to run with him in. And then you can walk through the mundane, daily, everyday life stuff and not faint, but have that strength the length of your days, so shall your strength be. Okay. So that's a really cool word, flourish. They shall flourish like the palm tree. And I want to tell you just a little stuff I learned about the palm tree. And y'all probably already know all this, but it just is really exciting to me. The palm tree is very long-lived. And look at them all around here. They're straight, upright. Most of them are just straight, upright. They have this beautiful crown on the top. They don't have all these wild branches everywhere. They have these palm fronds up here like a crown. They're useful and they're very fruitful. Now, most of the palm trees around here, we don't get the fruit off of. But there are a lot of different kinds of palm trees. And in Israel, they have lots of date palms. And somewhere I read that the older the palm tree gets, the more fruit it bears. And I thought that was pretty neat. And they're also symbolic for victory. Victory, triumph, and success. So look at this. The righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. And he will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And the word grow, it means to enlarge, especially upward. There's so many just little innuendos and little things that the Lord shows you when you start looking some of these words up. It just is like, oh my word, you can just sit and meditate on that for a long time. Upward. And the cedar, it's interesting that he used these two trees. The cedar tree is stable, durable, incorruptible. There is something in the cedar tree that kills the bugs when it gets into it. That's why so many things are made out of cedar, like cedar chest and cedar chip, you know, blah, 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 log homes, all that. Also, they're very fragrant. And it's symbolic of the strength and beauty of the Lord. And it's used to demonstrate the power of God. And I looking all those things up, it's like, oh, Daddy, you're so wonderful. And you have put so many things here in the scripture to help us understand who you really are and who we are in you. And we can just sit down and rest in that. No more striving, because they grow, it says, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Okay, last time I mentioned that the word planted, me only word when you look it up in the Strong's that it gives for a definition is transplanted. We have been transplanted when we believe out of the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of his dear son, brought into the kingdom of light, and planted in his house. Well, house, what do you think of when you think trees don't grow in houses ordinarily? That's sort of a funny thing to say. Well, it means family. Planted in the family of God. Planted in his family with him, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then all the other believers. Because the courts, they will flourish in the courts of our God. The courts is a place where the people of God would gather and chat with each other and talk and visit. And if we're not aware and growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus and our union with him, that we are joined to the one who is totally other, but he became like us so that he could make us righteous with his righteousness and become other like him. And then if we don't have that, then it's hard to have the communion, the conversation, the family dynamic with the body of Christ. And when I was studying this, and last week when Javen was doing his deal, something he said just keyed this to me, and it made me think about this. Well, he said the language of God is life. Yes, isn't that good? I mean, life, life, life. That is his language. He's always speaking life, life, life. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about we've entered into the new and living way, and to encourage each other into love and good deeds. And not forsake the gathering together, especially as we see the days moving on and that day coming. That's what they did in the courts. That's what we do when we get on the phone with each other. I still sort of like to talk on the phone more than I like to text, because texting, you can read it any way you want to read it, and it may not be like the person intended the message. And I think it was Rita and I were on the phone were on the phone the other day, and we were talking back and forth about the things of the Lord. And I thought about that scripture, how we're encouraging each other. We're in the house. We're flourishing. We're growing in the house of the Lord, in the courts. We were in the courts that day when we were talking back and forth. And I don't know if y'all can remember the Frankenstein movies, but or some of those science fiction movies where they have all this stuff going on in these rooms and the bubbles are coming up and they turn the switch and all of a sudden the power surges go bzzz, bzzz, bzzz. Well, when Rita and I were talking, we felt like all of a sudden we were getting bzzz, bzzz, by the power and presence of the Lord. It was awesome. It was wonderful. And that's how we grow and encourage each other. One of the processes that God uses to encourage us in love and good deeds by sharing with each other and letting the power, the anointing, that fresh anointing, the grace, the word, the spirit, flow back and forth between each other. All right, now get down here to, okay. All right, as we are flourishing in the house of the Lord, we're really in Him and having that relationship. Remember what Steve McVeigh said about the dance with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit? We're in that place of love between the Father and the Son. That is the house of the Lord. That is sharing in. He has made it available to us. So wonderful that we can enter into that love between the Father and the Son. He loves us as much as He loves the Son. Eons ago, I had a dream, and I never understood all of it, but I could repeat the whole thing to you right now because it was really from the Lord. But one little part of it was, I was a little, like, three-year-old in this dream, in part of it. And this man came, and I was in the house that we were living in at the time, which was kind of strange, but not at the time I was three, but at the time the dream happened. And this man came and picked me up, and he held me up, you know, like this. He was strong, out like this, and looked at me and said, "The Father loves you as much as He loves me." And in that instant, I started getting revelation that I was as loved as Jesus is. The Father loves us as much as He loves Jesus, because that was Jesus holding me. And it, so what a privilege we have to enter into this dance, into this fellowship, and to live in His house. We don't ever have to live out of His house. We're in there. We're in there with Him forever. And then it says, those people that are in right standing with God, the righteous man that it talks about, they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green or prosperous. Now, full of sap. You know, trees do better when they're full of sap. And all through the scripture, we're called trees of one sort or another. One day when I was reading that, and the Amplified, oh, I wrote it down somewhere, but I don't know if I brought it. Yeah, here it is. The Amplified Bible for that verse says, "Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap of spiritual vitality and rich in the verdure, the greenness, of trust, love, and contentment." And the word sap just totally got me one day. And I'm going to spell it S-A-P-P instead of S-A-P. I'm just going to take a little liberty right here. Spirit, anointed, presence, and power. So the righteous, we have been made righteous with His righteousness, Scripture tells us. So that's us that are believers. We are full of sap, spirit, anointed, presence, and power. The very same way that Jesus was. We can walk on this earth like he did. We can expect to see the results that he saw. The more we grow in the understanding of this grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The clock's not working, so I don't know how it's going. Okay. So we can grow. Over in the book of John, he told us, the works that I do, you will do also and even greater. I am so hungry, and I think every one of us in here are getting that way, and not hungry in a bad way, because it says if we're in him, we'll not hunger and we'll not thirst. But there is a hunger to see the manifestation of the sons of God in this earth, and to walk in the way that Jesus walked, to live the way that he lived, to know that we can not, we don't even have to lay hands on them, but to say, like we're praying for your wife, that she will be healed in Jesus' name, and command the sickness and the dis-ease to leave and be cast into the sea, and that health and healing to rise up and come forth, and strength. And we just speak that to Charlotte right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we just say, every dis-ease in her body, get out and be cast into the sea, and health be released. Life come forth in the name of the Lord. So we will be full of sap, spirit, anointed presence and power, and very prosperous or very green, excuse me, fresh. Why? The next verse says, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. To declare, to proclaim, to show forth, not just definitely with our words, with boldness, to show forth that he is upright and there's no unrighteousness in him, and he is our rock. He is our refuge. He is faithful to his covenant promises, but also to let it show forth, to let it release it, to go forth, to minister to this hurting world, to not just to the hurting world, but to the hurting church. The church is hurting. They need to know. They need to have life spoken into them. And that's why we are full of this spirit anointed power and presence of the Lord. Okay, he is our rock, it says. A scripture popped into my mind with the rock. He who hears his words and does them, he who lets that living word, the written word, go in so that the living word has something to work with, will and builds his house on the rock, is wise. And when the storms come, which they will to everybody, the rain rains on the righteous and the unrighteous, the sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous, but if we are built on that rock, Jesus Christ, then every storm can come and we will not be smashed. We win and we go through because we're in him and on him, and he's in us, and the whole deal. We're joined in union. He is faithful to his covenant promises. He is our life. He is our security. He is light. He is the very light of life. In his light, we see light. In him, we receive more revelation, more light. He is our support and our defense, and he is our hiding place. How much better can it be? I mean, he is our joy in addition to all of that. And we just rejoice that he, of his own free will, chose to do it this way and limit himself to the covenant so that he could bring us up to where he is. So I just want to close in prayer and just pray, just want to pray a little prayer over y'all. Father, we just thank you so much for who you are, who Jesus is, that who the Holy Spirit is. You are good. You are good, and there is no darkness in you at all. And I just want to take authority in the name of Jesus and tell every dis-ease in anybody that, in any of us and anybody we're associated with, every hindrance, every blockage that is keeping the life and the light away and out of these lives, I just break that off of them and cast it into the sea and tell it never to raise its head again in Jesus' name. And I just release that healing virtue to flow forth, prosperity to flow forth, jobs to come forth. I thank you, Lord, for revelation. I thank you, Lord, that you are causing us to have our eyes opened. Not only physical blind eyes to be opened in Jesus' name, but spiritual eyes to be opened, that we understand who you are and your awesome, magnificent provision for us. And I just speak that blessing over all of these precious, precious brothers and sisters here and whoever might hear. I thank you, Lord, for your awesome goodness. I thank you also for your outrageous, unimaginable love that you have for us. And we will never back up on that. And we just rejoice in it and say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay.